Well, it sure is good to see everybody here just 1 week before Christmas Eve. Isn't it amazing? And I'll tell you what, folks, don't forget, next Sunday morning, that's our Christmas service. Our choir's going to be here. We're going to be singing, you know, Christmas traditionals. We're going to be having a message that's going to reach your family, your friends, your coworkers. Grab some of those invite cards. I've got several people that I've already lined up that are going to be here, amen, that I've invited specially that might not be here every single week or attend our church regularly by any means, but we're going to just fill this place up, amen, and we're going to give them a message from the Word and draw them to God's plan for their life, amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Again, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church. We're honored to see new faces with us all the time. I see we have several new folks. We're just so glad that you could be here. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We just know the Lord's got an awesome plan for your life. We want to get you connected through the Bible. Amen. You know, because it's so easy for us to choose our own ways. But folks, we got to remember this. It's His ways that are going to bless us. Amen. In church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's all of our jobs. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. We're just so glad to see you. So glad to have you. And the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We'd love to be your church family. What would your life look like after a year of going to church every week? What would your life look like if you learned the Bible and started applying it to your life? For those that are new, if you'll get hooked up to a Bible teaching church, if you'll come to church like it's your class, I tell you what, at the end of a year, your life will be radically, radically different in a much better way. Amen. You're ready for the Word of God here today? Well, turn with me. Go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. And today, I'm going to call this message, God's Power for the Family. God's Power for the Family. Last week, I taught a message called God's Power Flows Through Marriage. God's Power Flows Through Marriage. And today, it's going to be basically part two of last week's message. We know this, that marriage is under attack in the days and the times that we live in. Marriage is under attack in our society, but especially Christian marriage is under attack. The enemy wants to divide homes. He wants to divide families. Why? Because he wants to divide cities. He wants to divide nations. Remember what Jesus said? He said, a home divided against itself cannot stand. A city divided against itself cannot stand. And a nation divided against itself cannot stand. So when the enemy looks, when Satan himself thinks about bringing down a nation, especially a nation that was once, you know, putting God at the center of its national conscience, the devil starts with the home. He starts to attack marriages. He starts to attack husbands, and he starts to attack wives, because if he can divide the home, he can divide the city. And then if he can divide the cities, he can divide the nation. And we see Satan's plan. And since marriage is under attack, the family is under attack. But we've got to go and take a look again at God's power for the family. Last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the more precious vessel, or a valuable vessel. The King James uses the word weaker, but it's not just a reference to, you know, physical strength and a comparison of physical strength. What that is, the word is delicate, meaning valuable, precious, and delicate, giving honor to the wife as the delicate, precious vessel, right? Knowing that you are heirs of the grace of life together, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice the scripture says a husband and wife inherit the grace of God, or the grace of life, together. All right, everyone say together. And so we took a good look at that. We said this, that God's power flows through marriage. The word grace there in 1 Peter 3:7, it means God's power. It means God's ability. It's talking about God's favor, God's blessing? How many of you want God's grace in your life? Well, notice this, if you're a Christian and you are married, you know this, that that power is gonna enter in through the gateway of your marriage. And even if you're here and you are not married, but maybe you plan to be or hope to be, you know, someday, we can get a hold of this, amen? And even if we're not, we just know this, that these principles still apply to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen, praise the Lord. And so we said this last week, a lot of families sometimes, they think that the focus or the most important aspect of their home is the children and the children's activities, but that's not what the Bible says. The marriage is the first focal point of God in our lives if we're a married Christian couple. We know that. We know that the grace of life that flows through the marriage to the husband, to the wife, that's gonna flow to the kids. That grace of God, that power of God is gonna feed the whole family. It is gonna water God's favor all over that home, all over that family, all over the kids, all over that marriage, amen. See, we need to know and understand that we need to first take care of the marriage in the home, and then everybody else and everything else will feed from the grace and favor of the marriage in the home. So many families, they raise, you know, a family with the idea that everything's focused on the kids. Make sure, you know, we do everything the kids want to do. Folks, bless your kids. You know what I mean? You know, enjoy your children and enjoy activities. But I'll tell you what, the strength of your family is not the activities of the children. It is not the material possessions and the money you seek to have. The strength of God in your home is the marriage covenant. And that should be the thing that you tend to the most, because nobody's gonna be blessed in that family until that marriage is first strong, healthy, godly, and God's having his way in that marriage, amen. We then looked over at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, and we saw God's structure of authority. We saw God the Father is the head of Christ. Christ is the head over the husband, and the husband is the head over the wife. And that was God's structure of authority. That was not God saying that men are more important than women. God doesn't look at, you know, these relationships as a battle or a contest. With God, it is not a battle of the sexes. It is not a battle of the genders. And we understand a lot of people in our society today, they will hate this sort of truth. They think, you know, that the Bible is some kind of sexist book and, you know, makes men to be more important than women, and men should dominate women and boss women around and all that. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is not talking about an order of importance. It's talking about how these roles work together, not fight against each other. Right? Because think of this. It says that God the Father is the head or the chief teacher or the master over Christ. Now, how many of you know Jesus said over and over, he said, me and my Father are one. Yeah. So it's not an order of importance. Who's more important, God the Father or God the Son? Right? They're both equal importance. Amen. And so, but they work together. Christ submitted on this earth in order to work with the Father. Amen. In the same way, when a couple gets married, the Bible says they are no longer two, but they are one flesh. So if they're one flesh, you can't say one is more important than the other. They work together. Amen. And we saw that in the home, it starts with the man, but it certainly does not end with the man. Guys, you are the first level of defense. You are the first level of scriptural knowledge, spiritual authority in the home. Jesus said over there in Matthew 12, 28, he says, if I cast out demons, right, by the word of God, you know that the kingdom of God has come near unto you. And then he says, likewise, how can a thief break into a strong man's house and steal his goods unless he first bind or tie up the strong man? Then he will steal or spoil his house. Remember that? And we saw this, just like a natural thief. When a natural thief thinks about breaking into my home, guess what? A natural thief is not first thinking about my children or my wife being his biggest concern. His biggest concern is the man of the house, all right? And no offense to my boys, maybe, you know, they could help stop them or whatever. They're getting older and know some things, you know. You know, they've shot deer and hunt deer and all that, so maybe you never know, they could step in and defend. You know, my wife, she might throw a high heel or a purse at them or something like that. But that thief is most concerned about the man of the house, because that man is the greatest threat towards that thief. Jesus was using a natural truth to teach a spiritual truth. Folks, we know that there's thieves in this world that would love to break into your house and steal. Well, the ultimate thief, Jesus called who the ultimate thief? Satan is the ultimate thief, and he works just like a natural thief. A natural thief wants to tie up the man of the house in the same way Satan starts in the first place, that same place. He will start with the man. It says that he will try to bind or tie up the man. Why? Because the man is the first level of spiritual authority in the house. And yet we see so many men today are not interested in the things of God. They don't become students of the Word of God. They don't know how to stop the enemy. But guys, just like it's your responsibility in your home to protect and defend your home from a natural thief, the first defense spiritually is you knowing how to keep the enemy out of your house. Amen. Then, of course, we looked at the role of a woman, and a woman is absolutely the strength and the example behind a man. Absolutely. She is the one that provides that example. Even if a man will not follow the Word of God, her godly example, day in and day out, speaks to that man, and his heart will be tenderized through the faithfulness of his wife. And so we know this, ladies, even when God's word is not being received in a man's life, your example is still speaking to him, whether he admits it or not. Ladies, you are the greatest influence over what God has called every man to do. Amen. I know this, I would not be able to do what God called me to do without the strength of my wife. Amen. And so these roles aren't more important, they're just different, and they work together. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 5. And today let's talk more about God's power for the entire family. And yes, we're going to talk about marriage. Here we go. Now I'm going to start off by reading in the King James. Go to Proverbs 5, and we are going to start there in verse 15. Now when I read these verses in the King James, it's going to seem a little strange to us. Sometimes we just read through the Bible, we gloss over verses, and we never take the time to study what they're actually talking about. Watch this. I'm going to read in the King James. I'm going to read right down through verse 19. Let's start Proverbs 5 and verse 15. Let's start right there in the King James. I'm just going to read it. It says this, "Drink waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only your own, and not strangers with thee. Let your fountain be blessed." Everyone say blessed. Blessed. "Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth." Oh, so now we start to see there's a mention of marriage in this passage, all right? So now we understand a little bit what he's talking about. Verse 19, and he says, let your wife be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and you be ravished always with her love. Wow, it's getting steamy in here. Whew. Whew, right? Cool down, right? Proverbs 5:19, that's a very interesting verse, you know, in the Bible. And we are going to address that. But now we read this passage, you know, in the King James, and it's like, what is it talking about? What is cisterns and drinking from your own well and all these things? Go back up to verse 15. I am now going to put it in the amplified version, meaning a more modern version of the Bible, so you can know and understand. First of all, you have to know that the entire chapter, Proverbs chapter 5, is a warning about adultery. It is a warning about adultery. It is a warning about mishandling marriage. Now we're going to start to get some things. Folks, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go through the amplified version of this. We're going to come back to verse 15, and we're going to go verse by verse. And as I preach today, I'm going to give you several things that you can do to help God's power flow through your marriage to your family. There's going to be a lot of things that you can take down, a lot of things you can do, but I'm going to warn you, I'm not setting it up in a proper list. You're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to hear these things, get them down in your notebook. You're going to need to take them home, pay attention closely. There's going to be a lot of Bible instruction of how to get your family moving in the power of God, all right? Watch this. Verse 15 in the Amplified says, drink waters out of your own cistern of a pure marriage relationship. Oh, here we go. Now we see the scripture is just talking in a metaphor about marriage. It's a metaphor about marriage. And he says, drink waters out of your own cistern. Remember what a cistern is? A cistern is something that gathers rainwater so you can use it later. Remember when this scripture was written. Remember where it was written. See, you and I, we don't think twice about this because we go up to our faucet. We have clean, fresh, running drinking water every day, any moment we need it, right? We have bottled water all over the place. We never have to fret clean drinking water. But you have to remember, when this was written, drinking water, especially clean, safe drinking water, was a moment of concern or a thing of concern for them every single day. Remember, they lived in a very arid climate, a very desert-like climate. So if you live in a desert where it very seldom rains, that cistern and saving the little rain that you do get is very important. It is a matter of life and death, all right? So you got to understand the context of what's being said here. If you live in a desert and you have a well or a cistern, it's everything to your life. Everything to your life. And so now again, in verse 15, the scripture now is talking about marriage. Just like you would have to drink water out of a cistern or a well, it says, drink waters out of your own cistern, out of your own pure marriage relationship, and fresh running waters out of your own well. Look at verse 16. Should your offspring be dispersed abroad as water brooks in the streets? If you had fresh water, you would not want to disperse it or waste it in the streets. Oh, verse 17. Confine yourself to your own wife. Let your children be for you alone, and not the children of strangers with you. Let your fountain of human life be blessed with the rewards of fidelity and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant doe, tender, gentle, attractive. Let her bosom satisfy you at all times and always be transported with delight in her love. Transported? What does that mean? I have no idea. I don't know what that is, but it sure must be a real good thing, right? You're just carried away in the delight of her love. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Go back up to verse 15. And let's get into this. Are you ready? Are you sure that you're ready? Amen. Like I said in verse 15, clean, fresh, safe drinking water was a constant source of concern. If the cistern or the well runs dry, or if it becomes stagnant, they could lose their health, they could lose their life. They could lose, you know, all matter of a joyful life. the water could become contaminated. Do you know what stagnant water is? Water that just sits there, and over time, bacteria gets into it and contaminates it. And so now it's unusable, or if you do use it, it will now make you sick. All right. Do you see this in the scripture? Do you know that the Bible even references something like this in the New Testament? Hey, real quickly, can you show us 1 Timothy 5:23? You can bring it up in whatever version you want to. 1 Timothy 5:23. Remember when Paul the apostle told Timothy, remember when he told him to not drink water, but drink a little wine for his stomach's sake? Remember how people tried to use that? Can you bring that up for us, please? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. Praise the Lord. It's coming through the works. Here it comes. There it is. Drink water no longer exclusively. Boy, and a lot of Christians have taken this verse and tried to use it as a justification for drinking booze, for having a wino kind of life. No, 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 no. He says, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. See, that's Paul's message to Timothy. Fresh water was so hard to find. Good, clean, safe drinking water was such a rarity in those days. Timothy was suffering with nonstop bouts in his stomach or dysentery. And so Paul said, you know what? Even though in chapter 3, I told you not to drink any wine at all as a minister, he said, but as a form of medication for the use against illness and against the bacteria that has gotten into your stomach, he said, you can, you know, stay away from the dirty water, drink a little bit of wine until you feel better. So do you see in the scripture how fresh, safe drinking water was a concern for those people, right? It was a matter of life and death. It was a matter of health and sickness. Literally, you could say it this way. It was a matter of joy versus pain. It was important. Now go to Proverbs 5:15. Amen. Fresh, clean water is a symbol of blessing, refreshing, favor, strength, life, and vitality. All right. Can you please bring up Proverbs 5:15? Drink waters out of your own cistern, out of a pure marriage relationship, fresh running waters out of your own well. Remember, this fresh water is a symbol of blessing, refreshing, favor, strength, life, and vitality. How many of you want those things in your life? Amen. All right, maybe half of you. Well, glory to God. All right. Folks, you could say it this way. Marriage, the marriage in the home is like pure running water that brings health, it brings blessing, it brings favor, it brings strength. Hello, praise the Lord. It brings life and vitality to the home. And notice the scripture tells us, live out of the blessing of your pure marriage relationship. Folks, this is why we say God's power flows through the marriage. God's power for the family all starts there with that marriage covenant. If we don't understand it, if we don't conduct ourselves properly out of it, we're not going to live out of the fresh running waters. If you're not careful, you'll let that well go dry. You'll let that well be stagnant. And that which was meant to bless you can actually start to bring problems into your life because it's mishandled. Think about this. Marriage is like a pure running water that brings health, blessing, life, and vitality to the home. Amen. And the scripture is comparing it to a well or a cistern. Folks, if you had a well or a cistern in a desert, you would guard it knowing that if you let that thing run dry, everybody in the home is going to face real hardships. Just like you would guard a well in the desert, you are supposed to guard the well of your marriage. Every bit of blessing, every bit of God's power and grace is supposed to flow through that marriage relationship. Oh, praise God. So this is why we say don't make the priority of your house the activities that you just, you know, focus on with your kids. Don't make the strength of your house your job or your business. Don't make the strength of your home just things that you like to enjoy to do. make sure the strength and the highest priority of your home is to invest in and to guard the health of that marriage. If you lived in the desert and you needed that water, you'd guard your well and cistern. You wouldn't let anybody mess with it. You wouldn't let it become contaminated. You wouldn't let it go stagnant, and you would not let it go dry. Amen. Your life depends on your marriage. Yes. If you lived in a desert but had only one well that was supernaturally being filled with running water, you would guard it with all of your life. We are supposed to care for our marriage above all else in our home. Amen. The marriage is the power source to the family, just like the well was the source of refreshing to the family in those days. The marriage is the power source of the family. It is the life-saving well or cistern that keeps the family showered in God's blessing. Your marriage, I'm going to say it again. It is that life-saving well or cistern that keeps your entire family showered in the blessing of God. How many of you want to protect your kids? Your marriage, then you'll take care of your marriage. You want to see your kids grow up blessed. You want to grow, you know, watch your child grow in the strength and the health and the joy of the Lord. You're going to need to guard your marriage. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It is the life-saving well or cistern that will keep the family refreshed. It will keep the family showered in God's blessing. Now, but if we're not careful, many marriages, they will allow themselves to go stagnant. They allow the marriage to slow down. They allow the marriage to stop moving. They allow the marriage to sit still without anything new or refreshing, you know, put into it, and then all of a sudden that marriage can become stagnant. And if something becomes stagnant, it's like a well that is contaminated with bad water. Now, instead of blessing the whole family, it can now harm the whole family. Ooh, boy, praise the Lord. Let's make sure that we're careful. Many marriages are allowing themselves to run stagnant. The marriage slowly becomes dry or contaminated because somebody didn't guard it. Families, couples have allowed their marriage to become contaminated with strife. If you're always arguing, if you're always fighting, I'll tell you what, strife is the number one contaminant to every marriage. Your marriage cannot afford you fighting. Your kids cannot afford you fighting. Your kids cannot afford watching you scream at one another. It is destroying their security. It is destroying the peace for their future. See, if you've allowed your marriage to become stagnant, one thing that'll contaminate your marriage is strife and fighting. Don't allow that to happen. Couples allow their marriages to become contaminated with too much activity and too much energy in other things that don't matter. Yeah. Folks, there's nothing wrong with having your kids involved in a sport. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having activities. You know, I say this all the time, but folks, I'm just gonna level with you. Married couples with families, I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in the body of Christ. You're doing too much. You got a lot going on. Trying to keep all these things going. Every night of the week, you're out of the house, running, 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 running. A little of that is okay, but too much of it is gonna contaminate and stagnate your marriage. Ooh, boy. Too much activities. Marriages become contaminated because they're spending all their energy on something else. What energy are you spending on your marriage? What are you doing to keep your marriage fresh? Keep your marriage alive. Healthy, loving each other, right? Attracted to each other, passionate with one another. Amen. Stagnation is the result of nothing new being mixed in. Folks, how many of you know we need a fresh refilling of the Word and Spirit on a daily basis? Folks, I'm telling you, your marriage is not going to survive without a relationship with the Lord, without a relationship with His Word, without a relationship with a local church. What are we doing here every week? Well, one thing that's happening is that we're getting a fresh filling to keep our marriages fresh and healthy. Amen. Don't allow your marriage to become stagnant. I tell you this, couples, one thing you can do to bring God's power into your life and into your marriage, date one another. Date one another. Couples, married couples, should be flirting with each other. I don't care if you've been married 10 years. I don't care if you've been married 20 years. My wife and I have been married over 20 years. I don't care if you've been married for 40 years, 50 years. I tell you what, you should constantly be going on dates with one another. You should be constantly flirting with one another. I tell you, men, you should be complimenting your wife every single day. I'm not saying this, you know, to bring attention to me, but I don't believe a day goes by where I don't tell my wife how cute she is. I tell her every day, you are cute, you are beautiful. I just love you. And obviously we have kids in the audience, and so we might not get too explicit here, but you know, there should be hugs, there should be kisses, there should be pinches. There should be grabs. There should be holding. There should be, yes, absolutely. I'll tell you what, and I don't say this with any kind of sacrilege or anything. I love my wife. I cherish her. I'm in love with her. She is beautiful. I tell you what, in 20 years from now, I'm going to think the same thing. Glory to God. I just, man, I see marriages that fail all the time. I think, my goodness, that's not how God planned it to be. Marriages that become stagnant, contaminated with fighting and strife. No attraction. Why? They let it go without anything fresh being put in there. Couples should be dating one another. They should flirt with one another. Tell each other how attractive they are. Ladies, even if you have to lie to your husband a little bit. Woo! Wasn't there some old song? Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't care. Do it. Flirt with one another. Yes. You know, I tell my wife all the time how attractive she is. And I tell you what, on my side, it ain't any lie. You know, it's the real deal. But I understand that she probably, you know, compliments me, you know, and probably has, you know, praise the Lord. Because I think about her having to be with me, and I think, goodness gracious. You know, I'm the blessed one. Trust me, I'm the blessed one. You know, you can always tell who has the good personality in the relationship. She's the pretty one. I must have a good enough personality to overcome my looks, right? Praise the Lord. We won't go there. But I will say something here that I'll tell you what, this is going to more than likely get somebody upset with me. But I'm just going to share something about my wife. You know, my wife goes through great efforts to make sure that I'm always attracted to her. She does. You know, my wife, you know, there's plenty of days when, you know, she doesn't feel like, you know, necessarily, and she has no idea that I'm going to talk about this. And she probably may not even know that I notice. I mean, I try to say some things here and there. But you know what? My wife keeps herself up. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, she doesn't just laze around in the sweatpants in the ponytail all day, every day. You know, my wife, you know, she's constantly, you know, exercising. She's always making sure she wants to look good. She says this for me all the time. And believe me, my wife would get up here and testify. I've never demanded this out of my wife. I've never asked my wife, I've never in any way said anything remotely close to the idea like, I wish you'd look better. Guys, you should never say anything like that. But my wife, all on her own, just always is constantly, you know, with, you know, obviously hygiene, her looks, she exercises. She says this to me every once in a while. She says, you know, I'm just gonna make sure I exercise. I don't wanna let myself go. Not because she's ever worried about losing me or anything like that, because she's always for the sake of the marriage. She's not doing this on her own or for herself. She's doing that for me and for the marriage. And I know it's hard to talk about these things, but both men and women, we should not let ourselves go. Oh boy, it sure is getting quiet in here. All these people these days are lazy. Go to look at Walmart, everyone's greasy. Go ahead. I mean, oh my goodness, all of a sudden it's just sweatpants, ponytails. People don't shower but once a week, if at best, all that. They don't put any effort and they wonder why their marriage is struggling. Ladies, I'm just gonna tell you, guys are not, if they're thinking right, guys are not attracted to girls that are like dudes. I know, I told you this is gonna get me in trouble. But I tell you what, masculinity is at an all-time low in our nation, and you know what? So is femininity. The devil is trying to confuse our nation, trying to make women like men and men like women. Your marriage is gonna suffer. I'm making somebody mad. It doesn't mean you got to try to dress like a supermodel every day. Please don't misunderstand me. Reverend Justin says, don't say that. No, it doesn't mean you know, ladies are under the pressure. I'm just saying that when both husband and a wife contribute in a manner that bless their spouse. Some of you are looking at me, boy. Woo, I should take a Christmas photo of this. Merry Christmas. Everybody's eyes are... Say, Pastor, are you going to preach on this next week at our Christmas service? You betcha. You wait and see. Folks, absolutely. Attraction does matter. Couples should be dating one another, flirting with one another, attractive to one another. You know, put some effort into attracting your spouse. Of course, you shouldn't ask them to do that. This isn't about trying to change your spouse, folks. This is about changing ourselves personally. Amen. Praise God. All of it she does for our marriage. The way she dresses, the way she exercises, she doesn't do it for herself. Amen. Here's another thing that you can do to bring the power of God into your marriage. Don't let your home fall out of order. I'll tell you what, I see a lot of marriages that have a lot of unnecessary pressure because one of them or both of them is just letting the house fall apart. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's absolutely right. We have to work hard to make sure our home does not fall out of order. Yes, even with cleanliness. Yes, with organization. You know, so many times, you know, the house, of course, it'll, you know, everyone's house gets dirty, everyone's house gets cluttered or whatever. Folks, you cannot allow it to stay that way. I could show you some scriptures, boy, that will make you want to go home and clean every drawer in the house, even that junk drawer that we all have, or God forbid, the junk room. Anyone honest, you have a junk drawer at home that just kind of, oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, you can go to that junk drawer. If you need a screwdriver, it's in there. If you need a quarter for the pop machine, it's in there. If you need a needle and a thread, it's in there. Yeah. Make sure the home doesn't fall out of order. Folks, and of course, this isn't just the woman's job. This is the woman's and the man's job. I can't allow my junk to start piling up around the property and around the house. It doesn't pile up in the garage. And when times when I've done that before, you know, and my wife just gently starts to send out the reminders, guys, the gentle reminders, praise the Lord, you know, I take care of it. You know, don't let stuff fall out of order. Ladies, I tell you what, it does bless a man to come home to a clean house. Hear how quiet it is? Yeah, they're not going to teach you this in the universities of America anymore. But you wonder why our society is falling apart? Because the home is falling apart. Here's another thing that's happening. Ooh, boy. People are trying to live vicariously through others, through social media, at an unprecedented level. And I'm not saying that men don't do this. I see a lot of women that do this. They get online. They go surfing through people's Facebook pages. They see how perfect, in quote, perfect somebody else's life is. They see, oh, look at their renovation project in their house. I want that. Look at their perfect vacation videos in their pictures. How come we don't do that? all of a sudden you think someone else's life is perfect. You're trying to live vicariously through their social media, and all of a sudden when you live vicariously through someone else's delusional perfection, you're gonna bring your own life down to an all-time low. The Bible says there's no trial but such is common to man. Those people on Instagram that have the perfect life, they got more troubles than you do. If anybody is trying to make their life perfect on Instagram, it's the surest sign that their life is anything but. I tell you what, you shouldn't have to live vicariously through anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ and your spouse at home. All this stuff. And they go to their spouse and say, how come you don't do that? How come you don't look like that? How come you're not building us a new kitchen like that? How come you're not doing this and that? You better stop that junk. Your goal is not to see what you can get out of your spouse. Your goal is to see how you can be a blessing to their life. Woo, praise the Lord. Look at their new kitchen. Look at their new car. Look at their vacation photos. Look how happy they look. The Bible says, drink from your own well. Drink from your own well. Stop trying to live vicariously through someone else's false joy. Start creating some joy in your home, in your marriage. Praise the Lord. Spice it up. Flirt with your wife. Wives, flirt back. You know, ladies, why am I saying this? My wife started to quote me, I think it was a Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, you know, when it comes to intimacy. Yeah, it's true, men are hunters, but men prefer to shoot fish in a barrel. There you go. That'll change your life right there. That'll bless your marriage. Men are hunters, but they prefer to be hunted. Yay, the deep things of God. That's free, no charge. Don't ever tell me that I haven't done something to help your life. Praise the Lord. I wish my spouse would look like that. I saw so-and-so. I checked up on so-and-so. I checked up on an old girlfriend. I checked up on an old boyfriend on Facebook. Look how happy their life is. That could have been me. That is the devil. That is the devil. Get off that junk. Get away from thinking that you're trying to make your life. Listen, I don't want to look like anybody else's life except the life God has drawn up for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. These are all things. Take them home with you. Go to verse 16, and now here's why it matters. Here's why it matters that your marriage is a fresh running well. This is why it's got to be healthy. Oh, boy. I think I just took everybody out of the Christmas spirit. Tonight, the ghost of Christmas past is gonna show up. And you know what he's gonna look like? Like this. It's gonna be me in a big robe. A little bit more gray, longer beard, but it's gonna look just like me. And that never, let's let that one die. We'll let that one go away. Your marriage is that fresh running water that everybody in the house depends on. Here's why it matters. Look at verse 16 in the Amplified. Should your offspring be dispersed abroad as water brooks in the streets? We'll combine verse 17 with it. Confine yourself to your own wife. Let your children be for you alone. And basically it's saying, don't hand them over to the strangers in your community. Wow, confine yourself. Make sure you're drinking out of your own marriage. Make sure your marriage is strong and healthy. Because if your kids get the wrong picture of what a godly, proper Christian marriage looks like, they're gonna be weakened. They will go out and they won't know what a marriage is supposed to look like, and they won't choose. Go back up to verse 16. They won't choose wisely. Remember, fresh water was very precious. In those days, the streets were the sewer. I know we're really going all over the place here today. How many of you have ever heard or seen in these days, third world nations, third world cities, and their sewers will literally be little troughs next to the street, out in the streets? Like, if you you go to India, not everywhere in India, and of course I'm not trying to insult folks from India, you understand. Many different, places, South America, there's places where literally the sewer is an open trough or little ditch that runs right through the street. That's what it was like in the days when Solomon wrote this proverb. And so when the scripture's talking about why would you scatter fresh water out into the streets, what Solomon is saying here, he says, should your offspring, should your children that are the fountains of your life, should your children be wasted like fresh water dumped down the sewer? Wow. Think of this. Here's why it matters. Your children, not only you, will be greatly impacted by your marriage. It is the difference between your child wasting their life or doing something very purposeful for God. Oh boy, now I'm making people mad. Like I said, the streets in those days also doubled as a city sewer. So when the Bible says fresh brooks of water being scattered on the street, it is a symbol of waste. Children's lives all over our nation. Lives have been tested, challenged, and yes, even wasted because of the poor behavior of the parents. Someone's going to take offense at it. I'm not attacking you. I'm not saying this is you. But I'm saying, listen, for all of us, we're here to be challenged to take our marriage to another level, to make sure that we know and understand how sacred it is, how it is absolutely the power source. It is the living well for your children. That's why you got to marry correctly. This is why God never intended for children to be born out of wedlock. Never intended it. Say, oh, Pastor, that hurts. I'm not going after. If you're in that situation, you know somebody in that situation, I'm not saying that God can't, restore and have a plan B. I'm just saying God's better plan is for a home to be fed from a godly, pure marriage. And this is our goal, and this is why we're teaching this, because marriage is under attack. Wow. It matters because your child's life is going to be impacted. The scripture is saying, just like in those days when water was very precious, you would not take brooks of fresh water and cast them down the sewer. And so fresh brooks of water being scattered on the street was a symbol of waste. And God's saying, make sure you don't waste your kid's life because of your conduct in your marriage. Kids that grow up under a contentious marriage or a stagnant marriage of no love or affection, they will grow up. They will grow away from their parents. They will go out and face life without a proper picture or an example of what a God-filled marriage should look like. Listen to this. Children will lose or gain potential depending on the marriage they grow up under. I'm going to say it again. Children will gain or lose potential based on the marriage they grow up in. Folks, if you're here, you're sitting here feeling like, oh my goodness, I've made mistakes, or I was divorced, or, my marriage is, really, really in turmoil, and you're sitting here and feeling guilty about it. I am not preaching this to put guilt or shame on anybody. This is not God trying to put you down. This is God trying to bring up the level of Christian marriage to his standard of his word. Yes. And listen, if we've got things in our life we've got to repent for, repent for them. Yes. If we've got to look at our own lives and get some things straight in our marriage, get them straight. God is full of mercy. God is full of restoring that situation. If a child was born out of wedlock and the mother or the father or whoever is taking care of that child turns to the Lord will be active in their life. And if you're seeking to get remarried, you better marry right. Amen. God will forgive us of our mistakes. But I'm here to tell you, he doesn't want us to repeat them. And that's hard to say. It's not because God's mad. He loves us. He does not want to see children's lives hurt to be scattered upon the streets. Oh boy. You say, well, Pastor, well, I'm in that situation. Maybe you have a teenage child or maybe you have a grown child that, you know, is not serving the Lord. Listen, what's the answer for that? You stay faithful. You keep those prayers getting into the throne room of God. You keep bringing their life before God. God's merciful. He'll talk to that child for you. Please do not misunderstand this. If some of this seems convicting, it's to challenge us in the marriage we're in right now to bring it up to a higher level. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Children lose or gain potential depending on the marriage they grew up under. Folks, I am very, very grateful. The one thing I always knew as a child, and I still know it today as a 45-year-old man, my mother and my dad love each other. They love each other. They always have. They always will. They are each other's best friend. Here they've been married. Well, let's see, how old am I? 45 now, they'll be married 47 years. My grandparents on both sides were both married over 65 years. I'm so grateful I saw my grandparents, you know, love each other. Remember back when families would gather around the grandparents and celebrate their marriage and their relationship? I remember as a child, we'd go over to either side, either grandparent, and it was like we had all my aunts and uncles, all my cousins, and we all were there, and my grandparents were the center and the focus of the entire family because they were faithful to one another decade after decade after decade. Amen. We're seeing less and less of that in our society. My grandparents on my mom's side, they literally, it's a picture that'll be forever branded into my heart. Even when my grandfather was older, he would work as a sheet metal worker. And I'd be over at my grandparents' house, I'd be out playing, and he would get up at like 4 a.m. And so they would eat dinner, they called it supper. They would have supper at like 2:30 in the afternoon. And I'd be out playing in the side yard and I'd go down their side driveway and I'd look in through that little window and I'd see my grandma and my grandpa sitting there having that supper together every day of their life for 60 odd some years. Yeah. Folks, our generations need to learn and see more of that. Amen. Not these marriages where everybody's just confused and selfish. Not where everybody's just running out to see what they can get for themselves. Not just what activity we can plug in every single night and there's no time left over for the marriage. Woo, praise the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. God loves you. Amen, he loves you. He's not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to hurt you, but it matters. Now go down to verse 18. We're getting to the end of this. Let your fountain of human life be blessed. What is the fountain of human life? That's your kids. Yes. See, we read through Proverbs chapter 5 before, but we glossed right over. And we didn't see what this passage is truly about. God says, I want your kids blessed. I want your kids blessed. Parents, you're going to determine the level of blessing upon your kids by how you conduct yourself with marriage. Thank you, Pastor Brad, for that one amen. Let your fountain of human life be blessed with the rewards of fidelity. The rewards of fidelity. I'll be honest. I wish I could hide right now. Praise the Lord. The rewards of fidelity. What do you think those are? What do you think the rewards of a faithful, healthy, pure marriage are? I'll just say this, there's no restriction on it. There's no restriction. There is no saying what God's going to do in the home when a marriage is pure. Not saying that yours isn't. All right? This is a challenge for my marriage. It's a challenge. It's God calling us higher. Being careful that we have his standard for what marriage is. But all I know, the rewards of a good marriage, I know this. I believe I'm walking in a lot of them. I'm not saying that in pride. I believe many of you are walking in the rewards of fidelity. Amen. Marriage is not a hindrance. Marriage is the gateway to blessing. Amen. Our modern generations have decided that marriage isn't necessary. Marriage is just some kind of sexist, chauvinistic, political correctness, all this garbage that's going on. I'll tell you what, marriage is the source. It is the well of God's living blessing and favor in your home. Your spouse is not a hindrance to you.
That's right. Amen.
Glory to God. The rewards of fidelity will fall upon who? Your kids. Verse 18, I'm going to say it again. Let the fountain of human life, your children. Isn't that interesting? Glory to God. Your kids ever wondered how the Bible describes them? There you go. Boys, you're the fountain of human life. Let the fountain of human life be blessed with the rewards of fidelity. The rewards of your marriage will fall upon your children. The rewards of faithfulness in marriage, the rewards of kids watching a godly husband love his wife, be generous to her. Kids will watch a man, a husband who loves to see his wife blessed, loves to meet the desires of her heart. Your children, guys, should see a man who is constantly complimenting his wife, constantly promoting your wife, their mother, constantly making her feel good, a man who isn't afraid to pick up her dreams and dream right along with her. Guys, every single one of us should pick up the dreams of our wife and dream right along with her. Say, well, man, this pastor just makes it sound easy. My wife wants this, my wife wants that. Doesn't he know money doesn't grow on trees? Well, it doesn't grow in your wallet either, talking like that. Ladies, let your kids see a wife that honors and respects your husband. Let your kids see a wife that compliments your husband and respects his decisions. Let your kids see a wife that speaks well of him and doesn't undermine his authority in the house. Amen. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. I tell you what, like we said last week, someone needs to come up and sing Jingle Bells in a hurry. Anybody but Reverend Justin, right? I'm here to tell you the rewards of fidelity are for the entire house. God's going to reward your home. He's going to bless you, your spouse, your kids, because you take marriage seriously. God's power flows through the marriage to the family. Amen. Let's continue here. Let's end here, verse 18 and 19. Let your fountain of human life be blessed with the rewards of fidelity and what? And what? Oh, I'm going to get you more involved in that. And what? Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Didn't say complain about the wife of your youth. Oh, my goodness. Notice it didn't say tolerate the wife of your youth. It didn't say to endure the wife of your youth. It said to rejoice. Notice the implication is here is that this husband and wife that he's talking to is obviously older. Right? They're older. So notice they're not in their youth anymore, but they've been married for many years, and now the scripture is implying rejoice or find your joy in your wife even when you're older.
Amen.
So many marriages right now in this world, even in the Christian world, they're not enjoying one another. They've become stagnant, and what they're doing, they're just tolerating one another. They're tolerating one another. Obviously, there's going to be things in marriage at times that we have to tolerate. But we're talking about if that defines your marriage. Ask yourself this question right now. Am I enjoying my spouse more than I'm tolerating my spouse? Am I enduring my spouse or am I enjoying my spouse? If you're just tolerating them, if you're just enduring them, I'm here to tell you your marriage has grown stagnant. Stagnant marriage, just like a contaminated well, it'll produce hurt. I see so many marriages today where they're living apart. It's almost like they're living, you know, separate lives. He's got his life and she's got her life. He has his life, you know, his things, his money, her money. And they're really just kind of living this separate life. That is not what God intended. God intended for you to be together. God intended for you to be heading in the same direction of God's will together. God intended for you to be pursuing the things of God together, pursuing the things of the house of the Lord together. Amen. Pursuing in agreement the same direction for your kids, maybe for your business. Amen. He intended for you to enjoy each other, date one another, be passionate, be intimate. That's absolutely right. Glory to God. The Bible says you're supposed to rejoice in the wife of your youth. That doesn't mean, you know, just because marriage goes on, you know, our society thinks that the best day of marriage is the day you get married. I'll tell you what, that's not God's plan. I'll tell you what, we were talking about this right before service. Our wedding day was wonderful. And it honestly has been wonderful every day since. I wouldn't go back to it for all the money in the world. Our marriage is the best it's ever been right now. Until tomorrow. And then tomorrow, it'll be the best it's ever been until Tuesday.
Right, amen.
Amen. Good. I'll tell you what, if you think that marriage is just a big party, big expensive party where everyone's wearing white and eating free food and all that stuff, if you think that that's what, you know, that's the fairy tale wedding is the best day of marriage, I tell you what, you're deceived. Right. And so many times, these modern weddings, they have to be that glorious because nothing afterwards is going to be. If you got to live on the glorious $100,000 wedding, what was our wedding? A couple thousand? What did we have, Big Macs and French fries? No, it was a little bit better than that. But you know what? I don't know what we ate. I don't know. I don't remember the decorations so much. I don't remember the tux I wore. You know what? Because that was the least of all days of these last 20 plus years. Amen. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. You should be happy now. Investing in them now. Freshening up the marriage now. Yeah, praise the Lord. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Like I said, this indicates that they're no longer younger but older, but they're still enjoying one another. We shouldn't just tolerate or endure our spouse. It's said to rejoice. What does that mean? Celebrate your marriage all the time. Celebrate your marriage all the time. Make it the centerpiece of your home. And now we'll end at verse 19. Uh-oh. This verse, here we go. Let your wife be as the loving hind and pleasant doe, tender, gentle, and attractive. Let her bosom satisfy you at all times and always be transported. I have no idea why the Amplified uses that word, because that was in the original Hebrew. I think the word in the King James probably makes more sense to us. It says, be ravished with her love. Married couples, this is supposed to describe your intimate relationship within marriage. And I'm here to tell you, if you ain't married, you shouldn't be ravished by anybody's love. Oh, wow. Boy, that's interesting. The Holy Ghost is not okay with premarital sex. He is not okay. Boy, I just got a picture on the inside just of how much he's not okay with that. To the point where if I demonstrated by words or if I communicated to you just exactly how unpleasant the Holy Ghost thinks of premarital sex, I would probably make somebody mad. you know, or I should say, they would misunderstand it. They would not interpret it right. The Holy Ghost is not okay with premarital sex. He's not okay with it. If you are not married, you're not supposed to be ravished with anybody's love. If you are not married and you jump into a ravishing, intimate relationship, you're going to create a host of huge problems. Of course, if you're in that situation, I'm here to tell you God's merciful. I'm not here to blame somebody for past mistakes. The Holy Ghost is trying to prevent future ones. He's trying to prevent future hurts. Oh, Christian married couples, verse 19 is describing your sex life. Now, some people are going to say, Pastor, don't you know there's little kids here? You know, teenagers and such. Listen, it's better for them to learn it from the Word of God than to get a playground education at school. In a godly marriage between a husband and a wife, even later on in marriage, you're supposed to enjoy each other. Real quickly, and we'll end right here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, just real fast. I just want to read this verse to you. Let me show you what the New Testament says about the intimate life between a husband and a wife in Christian marriage. Are you here today? Yes. Folks, I know and I understand. I joke around about hiding. I'm always more than willing to share the message that God puts on my heart. I know sometimes it's difficult to hear, but it'll bless you if you receive it. God's not trying to hurt you. Oh boy. Oh boy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh boy. Go to verse 3. We'll just go to 1 Corinthians 7, 3. I just want to real quickly read you this verse. Folks, you know, like when I counsel marriages, one of the first questions out of my mouth to a couple that's struggling in marriage is, how's your sex life? And only the reason why I use that question, like usually towards the front of the conversation, is it because it typically opens up. It's like a root canal. It just absolutely discloses a lot of issues in the marriage. Because if your sex life in your marriage is less than ravishing, it's because it's a symptom of a bigger problem. Okay. Oh boy. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights. That's interesting. Goodwill, kindness, and what is due her as his wife. Well, you can figure that out for yourself. Likewise, the wife to her husband. Notice verse 4, it explains this. Bring up verse 4. For the wife does not exercise authority and control over her own body, but the husband has his rights. Likewise, everyone say likewise. Likewise. The husband does not have exclusive authority and control over his body, but the wife has her rights. Oh boy. Watch the giggles. Here come the giggles. The good news is, ladies, his body is for you. Men, her body is for you. Couples, you are supposed to enjoy one another. And look at what happens when a couple does not have a passionate, intimate life together. Oh boy, look at verse 5. Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights. It's talking about what? Intimacy. You do not take sex and hold it over your spouse. You are not to refuse, deprive, and defraud one another, except perhaps by mutual agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer. I'll be honest, I don't think many Christians do that in our society, and we need to. He says the only way you hold back from one another is if you both agree to hold off for more time in prayer. But afterwards, resume marital relations. Look what happens if you don't. Lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desire. How many marriages I've seen collapse because it's described right there in that verse. Intimacy is not something that goes away as a marriage gets older. actually, it's supposed to increase. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. Rapture now. Praise the Lord. Let's go right now. Just whoosh. If I up and vanish, or if you up and vanish. I see married couples deprive one another, defraud one another. They use sex as leverage against their spouse. See, the Bible says that if you withhold intimacy in marital relations, the Bible says that Satan will attack your marriage. Satan will attack your mind if there's a lack of intimacy in your marriage. Say, well, Pastor, what do we have to do to fix this? Well, I mean, you know what you have to do to fix this. You know what, I mean, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But really, what needs to happen is you need to start complimenting one another. You need to start spending time together. You need to start dating one another. You need to start setting time aside from all these activities, making sure that the marriage is first place in the home. Are you here today? Making sure your intimate life, you're going to have to put other things aside. You're going to make sure that hobbies have to be put aside. Yeah, make sure that your kids are not involved in so many activities that you're both just running. I see so many marriages where the man or the wife, one of them will take one, child to their activity. The other one takes their child to this activity. And they're just running apart all week long, making sure that each of their kids have their own activities. And they're never together. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, that's not the will of God. Amen. It's not the will of God. And because, we're willing to say these things, it's because we love you. And God wants to help you. Did you get some help here today? I highly recommend taking home Proverbs chapter 5. And you know what? Just for good measure, put on chapter 6 and 7 too. Do you know that Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7 have always been those three chapters alone have kept me pure in my marriage, have kept me pure as a man. Those chapters of scripture will absolutely, they'll put the fear of God in you, but they'll put the love of God in you too. Folks, please know and understand that this message is for your help and for your benefit. God loves you. Your marriage is the living well that showers God's favor upon your life, and I don't want you to miss it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that these things are difficult to hear at times. Father, we understand that they're convicting. Lord, I know and understand you told me not to be afraid of their faces. Lord, I know and understand that when these things are taught and demonstrated, that there's always going to be individuals that get upset. But Lord God, it's for our help. Lord, your word says that the commandments of God don't always seem joyous, but grievous. But they produce a joyous fruit of righteousness for those that will hear and receive it. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We know that we've all made mistakes. We've all done things in marriage that maybe we shouldn't have, or we didn't understand something. Lord, thank you for your mercy that you wash us and cleanse us of all that unrighteousness, and now you call us up to a higher standard. In these days when marriage is under attack, marriage is being belittled, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of distraction. The enemy trying to seduce and pull married couples, trying to seduce married men and seduce married women with distractions to allow their marriage to become stagnant and dry or contaminated. Father, we understand that strife will contaminate a marriage. Father, we realize that a lack of intimacy will contaminate a marriage. Father, we realize that overactivity will contaminate a marriage. Father, we see that trying to live vicariously through other people on social media, it'll just try to poison our own marriage. But Father, we're to live out of that pure living well of our marriage so that your power will flow through our family to our children and to the generations after us. Father, you are so faithful and good. Lord, I pray right now for every marriage represented in this place. Father, I also pray for those that will be married in the future. Father, I also pray for those that maybe went through a failure of a marriage. And Lord, that they're looking to reinstate themselves in this holy covenant. And Father God, I pray for each person in these scenarios. Father God, that your will, your strength would be upon them. Father, I pray that your wisdom would enlighten them to see the sacredness of what matrimony is. Father, I pray for every marriage and future marriage that we would all know and understand just how it feeds and your power flows through the gateway of that marriage to our lives. Father, that we would see and understand how it affects our children. Father, that our children will either gain or lose potential based on the marriage they grow up under. It'll influence them. Father, we don't want our children to be like scattered fresh water upon the street. Father, we want them to be mighty seed upon the earth, the generation of the upright, and they're blessed. So, Father God, strengthen these marriages, move upon their hearts, bring them up higher. Thank you, Lord God. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited the Lord into your heart? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're visiting here today, if you've never made Jesus your Lord, your Savior, wherever you are at, I'm here to tell you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. He was executed upon a Roman cross. His blood was shed as the Son of God, taking the punishment that you and I deserved for all of our sins so that we could have his innocence before God. And the Bible says that if you'll release your faith, if you'll put your faith in Christ, take him as your Lord and Savior, you will be washed and cleansed of all your sins. You will be rescued from eternal punishment in a place called hell. And the good news is heaven will become your eternal home. But if that's you here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord, I'm just gonna simply ask you to lift your hand. I'm not gonna bring you down front. I'm not gonna walk up to you. I'm not gonna point you out in any way. I'm gonna simply ask you to lift your hand, and as soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer right there in your seat. You can invite Jesus into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Anybody here within the sound of my voice, I would say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but maybe you're not walking with the Lord like you should. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to him. If that's you, I want to pray for you as well. Could you lift up your hand? Is there anybody here today that say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life? I see that hand and that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand and that hand and that one. You can put them down. God loves you. God loves you. Sometimes it takes a challenging message to kind of kickstart us in the right direction. God's just reaching out his hand, trying to bring you up higher. Amen. We had several hands. Anybody else that say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I need to rededicate my life here today. Anyone else? Maybe it's not even marriage related. That's fine. God knows. Well, we had several that lifted their hand. Let's all pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray these words out of your mouth. Mean it with all your heart. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe and I thank you for Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I will live for you. I will be faithful to you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, how many of you know we got to put action to those words, right? We can't just say them in church. We got to put some action to them. Amen. Not saying that you're not. I believe that you are. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get ready. One more week until Christmas. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Let's go ahead and give the Lord all the praise and glory, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, we just bless you. Father, we command your hand of blessing upon each family here, upon each one. Lord, we thank you that you're our Savior, our healer, our provider, and our protector. Lord, bless these families in this season, and we just give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.